Hello there and welcome to New Horizons, the weekly radio program for Blind Citizens Australia. BCA is the national consumer representative voice of Australians who are blind or vision impaired. Our mission is to achieve equity and equality by our empowerment, by promoting positive community attitudes, and by striving for high quality and accessible services which meet our needs. Ride our dreams out, future road. Hi, this is Ricky Chaplin. Well, this week I've got a bit of the flu, so I decided that it was probably best that I didn't subject your ears to too much of my voice. So my thanks go this week to Peter Greco. Peter has kindly provided us with an interview with Nick Gleason. Nick's totally blind, and he's just recently trekked the Simpson Desert, and he's talking to Peter about it here. Thank you, Peter.
Now, for those that might have missed it, tell us exactly what you intended to do.
Our original intention was that... myself and my lifetime friend Vina from America, along with two desert guides, would trek from Popel's Corner, which is the boundary of Queensland, South Australia and the Northern Territory, and we would trek to Birdsville. That was our original plan. However, on arrival at Birdsville, we found out that there had been a death in the family of one of the guides, and both him and his partner couldn't be part of our trek. So they flew in another guide. So we ended up with just the three of us, myself, Ina, and her name was Sarah Delaney. So we started our trek. I had a few physical issues on the first day, a bit of a medial ligament problem that had been an injury from a week before setting out and caused a bit of grief. However, what we did, we decided to take a slightly different route and to go into a more remote part of the world, into the Northern Territory. I was really keen to find a remote area where there was no other human beings and really become close to nature and to experience that.
I remember chatting to you before you left, and that was really one of your things. It was going to be, in a sense, as much a spiritual experience as a physical one, do you think?
Absolutely, Peter, and it was that. One of sharing our experiences, so each day we took time to write down what we had experienced and the feelings I had, especially from a totally blind perspective, and what that meant and how I felt and the things that I noticed that I thought might be really interesting, not just for other people who are blind, but just anyone who may not necessarily think in terms of non-visual.
I remember one of the other things you said, that you were going to spend one night totally apart, so very much sleeping on your own. Did you do that, and how did that go?
We did, and that was wonderful. There was a little sense of, I suppose, apprehension among us because the nights were very solitude. Where we were, we knew that there was just absolutely no one there, and quite an eerie feeling at night, a wonderful feeling. You may recall that we had no tents, so you're literally sleeping in your sleeping bag on the ground. Two nights we spent on the top of sand dunes, so it was quite amazing with the night air and that sense of not hearing anything at all. The silence was deafening. And it's probably the first time in my life that I've had that experience where you cannot hear any mechanical sound or traffic or human beings, and to be lying in my sleeping bag and just having that sense of awareness of isolation was quite amazing.
Did you sleep better or worse for that sort of feeling, do you reckon?
My quality of sleep wasn't the best. Partly, it could be somewhat age-related in that we're lying on the ground and it's not our usual comfortable bed.
Sure.
And, but no, definitely worthwhile. I wouldn't have had it any different to what we had experienced. The other really quite amazing thing I found, because I deliberately took no braille watch or any way of telling the time, but what was challenging was that come morning, it was very hard to tell day from night.
Yeah.
And I have no light perception, yeah. So I would suddenly, I would say when I woke up, well, what time is it? And they'd say, oh, it's 7:15, and it's perfect daylight. And I think, really?
Yeah.
Whereas in the cities, I think your listeners be very much aware that there's always little clues to day and night, and you know, whether it's sunshine or whether it's the traffic, whether it's traffic or birds, those things didn't happen early in the day. The birds seemed to come out later. The sun came out later. So it was just a little bit of an interesting thing that I discovered.
What about the terrain? How far did you walk, and what was that like to walk on?
The terrain varied. We averaged around about 13 to 14 k's in rough terms. It varied from often having a series of sand dunes that varied in height from, say, 10 metres up to 40 metres climbing up those. And even the some sand dunes had vegetation on them, others had very soft sand, which was a bit more challenging trying to climb up. And coming down, you sort of had to dig your heels in so that we didn't lose our balance. And keep in mind, we had backpacks that weighed about 15 kilos.
Sure.
Pretty heavy. That was a little. The challenge was increased by having one less guide, meant that we probably averaged about 4 kilos more on our backs. But other parts, we were often walking along valley beds that were more undulating, and were pushing through quite a lot of vegetation, and that varied a lot from having hardy desert-like plants that I expected to find, like spinifex. But then we'd come across other sections where they were beautiful, soft, textured flowers that were like a meadow of yellow. And one plant I touched felt like a lamb's ear, extremely soft to touch.
Yeah.
And you think, how can these plants live in such an environment?
Yeah.
But somehow they did. And that sort of that amazed me as well.
Nick, what about any wildlife, animal-wise? Did you encounter anything?
This was the thing that amazed me. We didn't actually see any major animals. We saw no camels, no... physically, we didn't see any dingoes. One night, we did experience them calling. What we did find was evidence of them. So when you cross the dry salt lakes, which is a perfectly flat area, and that these were quite large, you could walk maybe 3 kilometres along, and they might be a kilometre wide, and it was like a braille tactile map, where I could bend down and feel the imprint of the three toes of the emu, or a series of camel footprints, or the dingo footprints. So although we didn't see them, in many ways, in my mind, for people who are blind, it was even better, because even if we did see them, being blind, you don't see them.
Yeah.
So this was a perfect formation of them being there. And the guide would say, Nick, this kangaroo has come across you very quickly, because you could tell by the actual distance between each bound.
Yeah.
Or a dingo would be following another animal, maybe in pursuit of its next meal. So lots of birds, and I was really interested. We came across budgies, and they were described as brilliant green with yellow on them. And then we came across zebra finches, which was quite incredible. And one particular night, as we were setting up our little area on the sand dune, a woolly wagtail came within 3 metres of me and Vina and Sarah, and looked at us like to say, well, what are you guys doing here? And then it sort of chortled, or whatever a woolly wagtail does to its mates, as if to say, well, yep, they look okay, and then he wandered off.
Yeah. Were you ever scared?
No, I wasn't scared. I was a level of fear with the heavy backpacks and a fairly severe knee injury. And so there was, a sense of that fear of not being able to complete my goal, especially on that first day. I thought, wouldn't it be terrible if I went 10 metres in here and discovered the pain was too great. I've been fortunate, Pete, in my life. I've been able to do quite a lot of endurance events, and And I think that helped me to cope with that level of stress and to manage that. And Sarah was fantastic with her medical treatment. So both people were just tremendous.
Now, I think Vina was from the US. That must have been a different way to see Australia.
We often marvelled at that. We, you know, I remember sitting on a sand dune and we thought, how many people, what's the odds of an American sitting here on this sand dune in probably the deepest part of the Northern Territory, along with a totally blind person? And we thought the odds were pretty, pretty extreme. Mm. And if you saw Vina, she's all of 5 foot in height in old terminology, extremely fit. She was carrying a huge backpack and guiding me. So I'm following her backpack and holding onto a strap. And, you know, often these people who volunteer or put their hand up to assist are, in my mind, they're real heroes. They're fantastic. And I know it's two-way. People benefit. We all benefit. But they show a lot of courage, and she definitely did.
Now, you did this largely thanks to the help of the AMP Foundation?
Yeah, that's right, through the AMP Fund, and I was an AMP Tomorrow Maker, and really appreciative of that opportunity. And we had a blog that people could follow, and to be able to share that with the broader community was fantastic, and to share my experiences, because I think it had to be beyond just my experience. I hope that it touched other people's lives and in one way or another assisted them in their own personal lives. And because we all have our ups and downs, we all have our challenges, and the feedback and response were just fantastic.
And from a personal point of view, you got out of it what you set out to do, or perhaps in a sense maybe even more?
I think I even gained more, and quite surprised by what is out in the desert, where often people think, including myself, that it might be barren and it might be this and that, and suddenly I found that there is evidence of so much life out there, and at times I just felt like almost the atmosphere was whispering to me. I just found that amazing. The things we could touch, you know, I touched a dead scorpion that was found on a salt lake. They showed me a dingo skull, which was very old and very able to be touched. Those things are just amazing. And that was in an Aboriginal well that had been used for many centuries, if not thousands of years, where the Aboriginal people would gather for their meals, probably a modern-day barbecue. Yeah. And they would chuck their bones into an area that had somehow all compacted, so I could feel the vertebrae of animals that may have been there hundreds of thousands of years ago, and teeth of animals, and all those things that was evidence of a past time.
Thanks so much for sharing that with us. Really appreciate it. We wish you well, and I hope we can chat again in the future.
To you, Peter, and your listeners, I wish them all the very best, and they can achieve their own personal goals in life.
Great message. Thanks, Nick.
Bye-bye.
Blind Citizens Australia is funded by the Australian Government through the Department of Social Services and from the Victorian Department of Human Services. We receive financial and in-kind support from Vision Australia, Royal Society for the Blind, Guide Dogs Victoria, and the RPH stations throughout Australia. Generous donations are also received from our members and the broader community. Blind Citizens Australia is located at Ross House, Level 3, 247 to 251, Flinders Lane, Melbourne, Victoria 3000. Our national office contact number is 03 9654 1400, or toll free 1800 033 660. You can email us at bca@bca.org.au. Our website address is www.bca.org.au. Ride our dreams down.